Welcome to a very special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
Well, Ryan, we come to a sad moment here at Family Talk, and I'm sure it will also be a big disappointment for many, many of our listeners because the essence of it is that it has come time for us to say goodbye, at least for the time being, to our colleague Luann Crane, who is also the vice president of broadcasting here at Family Talk. Several weeks ago, I was sitting at my desk, and Luann came in to tell me that the Lord was calling her to another responsibility, one that, frankly, we both agreed is even more important than the task that she has been fulfilling here, the task of co-hosting our radio program and essentially being responsible for broadcasting here. Luann is a very, very gifted woman and one that I have worked with for almost 30 years. Luann, can you believe that?
No, that's a little scary, Doctor.
30 years. You were at Focus on the Family as a producer for me for and others for 26 years. And then when the Lord called me elsewhere and I started Family Talk, you made the transition.
I did.
And people can hear it, but I have a lump in my throat today.
Bless you. Well, you are too kind, that's for sure.
Describe for our listeners what you said to me when you asked to come by and share something with me. And you came and I stayed at my desk. You were sitting in a chair. And you said some things that I will remember for the rest of my life. And it was said with a lot of emotion.
It's still
and
there, too.
With tears in your eyes, and you have them today.
I do. Because for those 26 years, I knew I had a love of ministry and producing and helping you behind the glass. What you helped me learn and discover was my love for doing that behind these microphones with you and your son and this amazing team. To what I would even state as a calling, and I say that almost with some fear and trepidation because that's a sacred trust. But in some small way, if I've been able to support you in this opportunity to continue your ministry to families, it's been an honor. And there has been no other opportunity for work in my life that I have enjoyed or loved as much. However, there is one thing I love more. Mm-hmm. And his name is Robbie. Mm-hmm. And I got one more boy at home.
He's 15.
He is 15. And many people, even hearing that, would say, Luann, he's grown. He's old enough. What's the big deal? You know, I mean, we understand when they're toddlers. We preach that a lot. But I'm an older mom, and I have been through this three times prior. I have already graduated out three children, and he is my last. So I know fully, probably even more than my first, what I have ahead of me in the next few years. And somehow for these past 30, my husband and I have manipulated and twisted and connived to make it possible for me to be there. I don't want to miss these next three. They are enormous. They are significant. This young man will be making life decisions that could set him on a course for the rest of his life. You've pointed it out here on this broadcast many times. I know he will wrestle with his faith and his relationships and his friendships. He might even choose the woman that he'll marry. I want to be there for that. I want to be the one that is there when he comes home from school, not an appointment that I get home at 6 o'clock from work, but that arbitrary car ride or that conversation that occurs at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in July that might just put him on a course that would determine his future.
When we talked that day, you said something that I won't forget. And maybe this is self-serving to even report it. But you said, I'm really only doing what you have taught for all these years. And I have. It's primary.
It's something that you've mentioned so often. And in particular, there was a broadcast in which you pointed out that boys especially are the ones that suffer with the two-income family. Yeah. And for these past 3.5 years, with much cooperation and support from my own family, we have been a two-income family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that really comes from bringing up boys as well. I've said it many times. But
it's structure, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And I talked in that book right at the end about the fact that there's 16 chapters in that book. I think there's 17 counting the introduction. And I said at the end, all 16 of these chapters deal with some aspects of the stresses that a boy goes through and that parents go through too, and that many of them result from exhausted, harried, overworked, distracted parents. And especially, I'm sorry, it's gonna upset somebody, but the two-career family where the career is primary. A lot of people can handle both the mother and the father in the workplace, but it's a lot harder when your heart and soul is invested in those careers.
As mine has been. But even a lot of children may be able to handle that, Doctor. And forgive me if I paraphrase scripture a little bit here, but when the Lord says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart, we've got to take into account the personalities of our children. And I kind of joke, I apologize, Kenny, but Kenny is a much more independent person. And I kind of think if I wasn't there, he might not even notice because he's so self-sufficient and capable. Robbie is a social young man, and with the dynamics of our family, he misses his brothers and his sister. One of the reasons that it has worked for the past 3 years is that we still had Kenny in the home with Robbie, and so the dynamics were very different. Last fall, when our third woefully chose to go 12 hours away to college, that changed things. We lost that friendship in the home. We lost a driver. We lost another conversationalist around the table.
A big brother.
We did.
It's
lonely. And
he had three siblings at one point. He was used to that. And then all of a sudden, he's by himself.
Absolutely.
That's a big deal.
And for a lot of the time, he filled that with school activities. And there were days, seriously, when he was at school prior to me arriving here, and he was there after I left here because of his schedule. But especially this spring, we started seeing that we were looking at the very real possibility that that young man would come home alone.
You know, Lou Anne, you've been down this road before because when your babies came in the 80s and 90s, you also stayed at home. You resigned. But then as you began to graduate these kids and it boiled down to a precious few, you were able to do other things.
That's right.
That's what I've always envisioned. Women tend to see this issue of being a full-time mom versus having something significant in their lives to do. They sometimes think of it as forever. Yeah. I'm telling you, it is the briefest window. You can do all those things. It's still open to you.
Well, Doctor, I'm laughing because I can just hear you echoing in my mind, the brevity, the brevity. And you are so famous for that. But that is exactly the message. And I know I've been there. When you have two in diapers and they're running around, you are 100% convinced it's lasting forever. 100 years, it's lasting forever. And those of us that have crossed that hill and have come to the other side know that it's not. And that's really why I even look at this entire program as trying to convey the concept of the seasons of a mom's life. Yes. You live in seasons way more than you men. In fact, I kind of feel sorry for you guys because you can just kind of get in a mode and stay there. I love and embrace and celebrate the ups and downs and ins and outs and all the many changes that we're called as women to face. And if we don't stop and reassess those periodically and reevaluate and fall on our faces before the Lord and say, am I where you want me to be right now? Am I doing what you've called me to do at this moment? If we don't do that regularly, we are missing the boat.
And God will take care of the future. Ryan, I know you've heard this before, but your mom did that kind of reassessment when you were 15 and saying, Lord, is this exactly where you want me? And what will happen after Ryan's gone? And will I have a place after that? And I remember saying to her, Cheryl, the Lord has you exactly where he wants you right now. That son of ours is growing up very rapidly. And he needs our time and attention, and especially he needs yours. And she, with that, there was no question. And then when you graduated from high school and went off to college, the Lord was standing there with the National Day of Prayer.
That's for sure.
She's now put 22 years into that ministry.
Are you telling me it's been 22 years since I went to college?
Let's do the math.
A long time ago.
Brevity of life.
Luann just mentioned it. I came home to a home that had a mom in it. I wasn't coming home to an empty house. And I was a good kid. I was not a crazy, rebellious kid doing nutty stuff. But you know me very, very well. If you leave me alone for too long, I'm probably going to find something to do that I shouldn't be doing. I'm going to get in some kind of trouble. If I came home to an empty house day after day after day, I would have gone – I would have ended up in the ER. Just something would have happened. That's just my temperament and personality.
The way I described it in Bringing Up Boys – and I think this is brilliant. You know, we don't have very many comments that we have written through the years that stick with you, but I like this one, that a boy is like a car going down a freeway at 70 miles an hour. And if you don't keep your hands on the wheel, he could run into the center divider or the ditch. He needs somebody watching the road and helping and talking them down when things go wrong. And all the other – and girls are like that too. But boys have a special talent
messing things up. And it's not that they don't have the ability to drive on the freeway. It's not that the skill set isn't there. It's just you need someone to say, hey, are you watching that? That look, there's something coming up. There's a big chunk of something in the road. You're going to miss that. You just need that guidance.
And, Doctor, I do want to point out here that this is a calling for me. There are people listening who will say, well, oh, you're trying to make this child-centered and you're switching all of your efforts to home so that you can guarantee your kids turn out right. This has nothing to do with guaranteeing that Robbie makes the right choices because of the next 3 years of my investment. He has free will. He can still go off the deep end, choose to serve another God and all of that. This is not about me grabbing God by the robe and saying, you owe me now because I've given this. This is 100% about a very strong conviction I share that I want to stand before the Lord with no doubts.
Luann, I'm going to ask you another personal question, but this whole conversation is personal.
It's incredibly personal.
I have watched you. It's been nearly a month since you made this decision, and I've watched you be teary-eyed off and on throughout this last month. This is because you have a good reason for what you're doing is not an indicator of how difficult this has been. And you're feeling it right now.
Yeah. This is something I love. I don't want to be dramatic, but this is Abraham raising the knife before his son, asking to sacrifice something that you love, something that the Lord even gave you. To walk away from that will be difficult and yet very easy. And partly I thank God for the conviction that you have helped place in my heart, that I know that I know that I know that what I'm doing is right. However, and I hope women hear this if they are at all considering a similar thing. The transition will not be easy. The emotion, the connection, the identity, the love of it. And I even want to address that whole concept of women in ministry. Ironically, it is even harder for women who are in ministry to step out of that and take care of their families. Those who are in nonprofits or even in churches, have dedicated their time. And it's so easy to say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. Mm-hmm. You know, why would you ask me to leave this? I am leaving ministry to perhaps thousands for one.
Right.
Well, yes. And if I can again paraphrase scripture, the scripture that says, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Mm-hmm. May I say, what does it profit me if I gain 1,000 listeners and lose my son?
Yeah. Now, you know what? You've put it in terms of women, but I'm telling you, there are many pastors out there and there are many Christian men who are also working 7 days a week and exhausting themselves. And some of them in ministry, you know, and they really have the same issue.
And I appreciate that, Doctor, but I'm speaking to the women right now because I believe very firmly that we, in many ways, hold the key. My husband, thank you for raising that, he has stepped in to help. That man will go to work. He leaves the house at 6:15, 6:30 in the morning sometimes, to make up the time, because to help accommodate me when we're in here recording, Steve will leave at 3 o'clock. He will leave his job. He has an office job, works with an engineering firm, to drive, which is about an hour round trip because my son goes to a charter school, another decision we've made that has sacrifice, and then get back, drop off Robbie at home or sometimes here, get back to the office. Then Steve will have to work that extra hour or two at the other end of the day to make up for that. By me doing this, I hope it sends a message to him. I'm here to support you to finally get your job back into what it ought to be.
You have heard me say many times. In fact, you've kind of smiled and quoted me saying, how nice for you.
Yes,
there are women that are looking to you and saying, how nice, Luann, that you can live on your husband's salary. There are two groups that I'm thinking about right now. One of them is composed of single women, and the other, those that are barely making it.
Yes.
This is not going to be easy for you financially either.
Without being too vulnerable, no, Doctor. Yes, I do, and I admit that. I do at least have an option, and I do want to speak to single women in a minute. But please know that especially in this economy, I don't know anybody who can really do it very well on one income. Right now, as of that first week of June, we're jumping off, and the Lord has asked me to let go of this trapeze handle before I grab the next one. We have sat down the past several weeks. We've trimmed just about everything we can trim. And we have looked at all these things. The Lord in His mercy will meet you there. I cannot tell you that once I made the decision, came in and told you that, made that decision to be obedient, the blessings will flow. Can I tell you that over and over again, we have not been blessed with additional income. We have been blessed with very reduced expenses. I've told you I have two sons in college. One of them literally starts his first job the first day that I am done here, the first week of June. Graduates from college, got a job. That is unheard of in this economy. So he will no longer be dependent. He was in college. Our other son in college, after I made this decision, was named to be an RA in college. You know that covers an enormous amount of that expense. There are multiple things over and over again that the Lord is dying to do and bless us with if we just step out in obedience.
Ryan, it occurs to me that we ought to talk about Laura, because she's a full-time mom.
She is.
And she could have gone out and looked for a job. And the two of you obviously came to the conclusion that she needed to be there with my two grandchildren, which I appreciate.
Well, we talk about it a lot, too. You know, there are we work for a ministry. You know, I don't know what people think about what it is that we do, but we work for a ministry, so we don't make a ton of money. And there have been many discussions of, should she go back to work? You know, she's got a very good skill set, but we need her home right now, you know? And I
work
here.
Does she agree with that?
She does, absolutely.
Oh, she's a fabulous
mom. I think there are days where it's very difficult, like it is for any mom. And the Lord reminds me of that.
And doctor, just to quickly address here that single mom listening, I know and I've always appreciated your heart for them. And I do want to say very clearly here, this is about obedience. And the obedience for me might look very different than the obedience for you. The Lord does not whisper in your ear the exact same thing he does in mine, nor the other way around. And I think often of that author and speaker, John Trent, who was raised by a single mother, and the legacy she left him, he speaks with awe of that woman now. And her obedience to the Lord during his season was to work several jobs, and the Lord filled that void. So I don't think this is a mandate. I do not find in Scripture something that says, thou shalt not work outside the home. Now, I am basing my decision on many interpretations of other Scriptures that I say to do my job best, I need to do it from home right now. But for the single mom, they do still need to at least ask the question, Lord, am I doing everything I can? And back to that season, they might need to change jobs. They might need to share housing. They might need to move their child to a closer school. They might need to even find work at the school so that at least their lives are connected. There are other ways they can still be involved and provide that to them without doing something drastic like I'm doing.
Well, Luann, we're short of time, as always. But
that has never changed, Doctor.
It's never
even
changed.
Even on your farewell program, what do? We run out of time.
But the Lord has gifted you tremendously for what you have done here. I'm embarrassed that it took me 26 years to figure out that you belonged on this side of the glass.
No, I think it took me 26 years to prepare for it.
Well, it's been a pleasure working with you, Ryan. Yeah. The three of us, right from the beginning, there was a camaraderie and there was an understanding of what we were here to do. There was a passion for the Word of God. And I've loved working with you.
Same here. Thank you.
I applaud what you're doing. I don't.
We all do.
You know, I rue it, but I applaud it. And so I just pray that God will go with you. And I ask our listeners to be in prayer for you.
Thank you.
Also, as you make this transition, no change is easy.
No.
And I don't like permanent change, but maybe this one isn't permanent.
Maybe not. Okay. Again, the Lord just asks you to be faithful for that season.
Definitely. I want to say thank you as well. You know, coming into the studio was intimidating and difficult. I've been doing live radio for a long time. Live radio from recorded radio is very, very different.
And you're very good at it.
And that learning curve was steep. And not only have I learned a ton from you, but you have taught your staff to be good as well and to teach as well. And we are all so much better for having been able to work with you. And from a personal level, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. And the Lord has his hand on this ministry.
Yeah.
And again, just to be clear, my voice will be on for a little while. Yeah. The vice presidential responsibility will be done at the end of May, but we will be phasing out my voice on the air. So you're stuck with me for a little while.
That's all right. Yeah.
You know, I really wish our listeners would write you
and
tell you how much they've appreciated.
Come to our Facebook page and make
you.
Posts. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well.
And you brought the feminine perspective and the motherly perspective and what it means to be a godly woman. We are going to look to fill your chair eventually with a woman. Because I don't think it makes sense to have three men talking about issues of relevance to women largely.
Absolutely.
We'll be so unruly without a woman's presence here.
Family Talk is very strong going forward, and I hope people hear that. In fact, the fact that I'm leaving is no signal that things are changing dramatically here. In fact, they could get even better. I mean, that's the response to obedience. You may think
when
you will miss
let
some
you
things.
Off that
I
easy.
Well,
yeah,
but the Lord could get better. But bless you, Doctor.
Luann, God be with you and be with your relationship with Steve and Robbie and your grown children. You model what we've been talking about for 3 years here.
That's right.
And we honor you.
Thank you.
You stay in touch with us.
I sure will. Thank you.
Oh, again, God has certainly blessed us through your time here at Family Talk, Luann. And as we mentioned, please visit our Facebook page or write to us and send in your prayers and encouragement for Luann. And that decision to invest fully at home is so timely as we head into Mother's Day this weekend. I'm thinking right now that I need to thank my mom again for all she's done and continues to do for our family. But before we close, I want to let you know that my dad, Dr. James Dobson, has written about these themes and the changes behind the microphones here in his May newsletter. It's hot off the presses. To get on the mailing list or to get a copy of Bringing Up Boys, a great resource we mentioned earlier today, or if you'd like prayer for a similar transition in your family, please call us. Our number is 877-732-6825. It's available 24 hours a day. Again, 877-732-6825, or go to drjamesdobson.org or our Facebook page. And then join us again tomorrow as we continue to honor moms with a conversation with the founder of the Life of a Single Mom Ministries. It's a special encouragement to single moms. And that's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.